the tabernacle was the Lord, seen as the Lord in his humility. Isaiah 53 says there was no form nor lordliness that we should desire him. And we also find that he was in his humiliation. They did not notice him for what he was, but the tabernacle, because the tabernacle itself had badger skins on the outside, which were not a very fancy outward appearance, but on the inside it was gold. And so when the Lord Jesus came and tabernacled amongst us, he came and dwelt in humility and veiled his Godhead glory. The tabernacle also was carried by four and was marched around through the desert. When they finally made it to the land and it was time to build a temple, the temple was not portable. The temple was permanent. Well, I mean, it could be destroyed by man as it had been, but the temple was permanent, and it speaks to me of the Lord Jesus coming in his glory. In Revelation 21, it says there's no temple in the midst of it, the New Jerusalem, because the Lord and the Lamb are the temple thereof. So again, then in his glory, the Lord Jesus will display his right to be the supreme ruler over the peoples of the world. He came first in humility. Second, he's coming in glory. And the glory is that which he gained on the other side of death, having come through in resurrection glory. And it was like with them when they brought the tabernacle across the river and into the land. Then it was a typifying of death and resurrection. And the Lord Jesus in his glory now will come and set up his being the temple in the midst of the New Jerusalem on that coming day.
It's in John's Gospel that we learn and we have recorded the incidents of the Lord's activity and movement here. And John tells us that he writes the signs and wonders which Jesus began to do, which would display or reflect or show and demonstrate his glory. What we have in the temple is this idea of display, this idea of glory, this idea of that which overwhelms and takes in the view of the greatness of the God who dwells there. And we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, as he walked here in the scene, in chapter 2, he says, this temple, speaking, referring to his body. But we want to really sort of mull over the idea of the greatness of the idea of the incarnation. Also to just meditate on the idea that God would come and express himself and display himself, would find a suitable means to which he can show all of his glories. Every sign that he did in John was to manifest that glory. And then you have in John the only instance where the Lord Jesus Christ says, no man takes my life from me. That's the glory associated and connected with this idea of his body being a temple. It's all about the glory of God and how he comes to express it. And so in the other verses that we read, where he says, where the Apostle Paul reminds us, let's remember who the Lord Jesus Christ is, the one who came in humility, as we've been sharing, and tabernacled with us, but this is the same one who displays the fullness of all that God is.
It's very good what we are enjoying together, and maybe to simplify it with that difference and come to the thought you brought. If you look at the tabernacle, there were two kinds of gold only. two kinds of gold. So there are many features of Christ were not in display. Only the Father knew all his worth. But when we come to the temple, there were seven kinds of gold. Mm-hmm. Seven kinds. And significant because the brethren have been sharing why every feature of Christ, as it were, is going to be displayed in glory before all. So that's certain things that will make a little understanding of what might be the differences between the tabernacle and the temple. But nevertheless, they have the same thought that God's dwelling place. Let's keep this in mind. The thing that we don't want to lose sight, we're talking about manhood. You might say the Lord Jesus, as the blessed God, eternal Son, they always dwelt. In fact, the Word who is in the bosom of the Father, it's a state of dwelling. Means, as a divine person, the Lord Jesus ever enjoyed that thought of dwelling. But what are we trying to learn here? That God's delight is with the sons of men. That God has every purpose in grace and love, that he wants to find his residence. We're not talking now about the triune God, okay? But he has a desire that he will find his residence and dwelling place in the midst of men. That's what we're talking about. That is why the Lord Jesus is speaking about that dwelling, or we're talking about that, of Christ, in which way? In manhood. It's very important to set the approach of what we're talking about. It is the dwelling of God in manhood. And that blessed man was seen in the person of the Lord Jesus. That's why in Colossians, if I may bring, you brought chapter 1 and chapter 2 of John. If you take Colossians 1 and Colossians 2, you have the same thing. In Colossians 1 verse 19, for it pleased the Godhead. What? Is to dwell in him. Why there is this pleasure? Well, eternally there is ever this pleasure. But God is talking about having his dwelling place. Dear brethren, let's take hold of that wonderful thought. What raised the wondrous thought? It was thy wisdom divine. That God wants to make his dwelling amongst men that he created. And of course, because of failure, the Lord Jesus comes. And take manhood, the body thou hast prepared me. And then it says, the pleasure of the Godhead were to find the residence where? In him as a man. So in chapter 1 you have this. And in chapter 2 you have something similar. That the Godhead dwells in him bodily. So how wonderful to see whether the aspect of the tabernacle, whether the aspect of the temple in display and glory, God hath every desire to dwell. And he desires to dwell also in the midst of you and me. But it has to go first through Christ Jesus as a man. Because from eternity to eternity, as a divine person, there is a dwelling and this wonderful relationship that you and I can never enter into.